Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood.
On Tuesday, the J-pop and alternative hotspot hits your eardrums on No Borders, No Race.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then on Thursdays, you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, presenting the Live Issues program.
It's going down each week, only in the land of Ash. Nerdcore at its finest.
Hey guys, welcome to a special episode of our one-on-one interview series. This past weekend, I was over at PAX East trying out the latest and upcoming games and tech that will be hitting stores in the hopefully not-too-distant future. I was fortunate enough to be able to sit down with the likes of Nintendo, the Behemoth, Devolver Digital, Kingston, and a whole lot more. And I also got the fanboy out a bit with the folks at Ankama who were there promoting the Wakfu animated series. So you'll hear that too. So let's not waste any more time here and get to these near dozen interviews. It's the PAX East 2015 One-on-One Spectacular.
It is day one here at PAX East, and I am over at the Nintendo booth with Corey from Nintendo Treehouse, and we're going to be talking a little bit about Splatoon. Welcome to One-on-One. How are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I am fantastic. I know it hasn't even been an hour into PAX East, but I'm already having a blast. So, Splatoon, this is a game that I tried out at E3, loved it, played it again, reminded me of all the great fun that it was. Just fantastic, man. Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about Splatoon, just in case if they're not quite familiar about it?
Yeah, so if anyone hasn't been up to speed, we debuted, of course, Splatoon at last year's E3. Brand new IP from Nintendo. You get to control these squid-like Inkling characters, and it's all about online turf war, right? 4v4 online battles. But what makes it so unique, it's not like you're not just trying to defeat the other enemies. It's all about spraying the ground with as much ink as possible to control your territory. But what makes it really cool is you get to turn into a squid, right? You get these squid powers. So as you lay down the ink, you can turn into a squid. You can swim around in your ink. You can go up walls. Makes for some really, really fun gameplay.
Yeah. When it was announced, it was almost like instant love throughout the fan base for Splatoon. You saw fan pictures. You saw even the creator of the beloved manga series, Squid Girl, create his own version of the Splatoon character. I mean, what went through your mind when you saw how instantly this was sort of becoming a hit with people?
I think, yeah, like you said, it's been really surprising and really great seeing such a great fan reaction, all the fan art that's been out there. It's just so visually appealing when it easily draws you in. And since E3, of course, we've unveiled a few additional things, like there'll be a single-player campaign where you're fighting like an evil octopus army that has kidnapped the catfish. We showed off some like Octolings. Just all the characters have these kind of just great personalities.
Mm. And you have this whole Tumblr thing set up where you're introducing people, introducing all the modes and such. What made you guys decide to use like Tumblr instead of just a regular website to help promote Splatoon?
I think with the Tumblr, what's great about it is there's, like you said, with the visuals of the game are just so fun. So with Tumblr, of course, we're able to put a lot of pictures up. We actually just put up a video last night of Judd, who is the cat who judges the turf war. We put a fun little video up of him sleeping. Just a fun little 30-second video, but just these kind of fun snippets, and they're from the perspective of the Squid Research Laboratory. So
awesome. So I know there's like a whole world, there's a whole hub that you get to travel through in Splatoon. Can you tell us a little bit of what to expect in that little hub section?
Yeah, so when you first start up the game, you're going to be in this plaza area, which, of course, the first thing you'll notice is right in front of you is this giant tower. That's where all of the online multiplayer takes place. You can go up to that tower. On your left, you're going to have all of the shops. So that's where you get to go customize your Inkling with different shoes or shirts or headgear or even weapons. And, of course, there's also the entrance to the single-player campaign, which is underground where the Octopi Army are currently.
Very well. So I don't know how much you can reveal about more about the single player, but what can people expect from like a whole sort of like gameplay style? Are we just going to see like traditional third person shooter? Are we going to see something like unique besides the whole, you know, whole squid thing? What are you going to be bringing new to the third person realm to the single player aspect?
You know, the single player is a really great aspect of the game where it combines everything you know about the multiplayer, which you're going to be shooting ink everywhere. You're going to be solving puzzles, getting through these levels. There are bosses you'll be going up against as well. It also is a great way to kind of learn and apply techniques to the multiplayer. So for those players that maybe have never even played a shooter game or even a game like this, because really no one's played a game quite like this before, it really does teach you some great techniques.
Now you mentioned puzzles. Like, what sort of puzzles are there going to be in this game?
You know, it's interesting. So the when I say puzzles, it's more of trying to figure out how to use your ink to overcome maybe obstacles in your way that you might not, you know, in a traditional platformer shooter, you might just be like, oh, I'm just going to shoot that and I'm going to get through to the next objective. Whereas now you're like, well, if I turn into a squid here and ink here, that's going to allow me to maybe swim through or...
Oh, so it's kind of like what they did with Portal.
I wouldn't directly compare it to any other title, but certainly there's a lot of kind of unique gimmicks that you'll be going through with each levels kind of being very unique.
So you are going to be releasing this game at the end of May, correct?
We've got a May release date. No specific date in May yet, but yes, looking forward to May.
So my final question is for all my people, what's the best way for you to convince our listeners to go and play Splatoon?
So again, hands-on here at PAX East. We're really excited to have it hands-on to as many people as we can here. Stay tuned for more opportunities to get hands-on, but like you said, we've got that Tumblr site, which is splatoonus.tumblr.com. We update that multiple times throughout the week for all the latest info. You can also follow our additional social media channels on Facebook, Twitter, etc.
Excellent. Corey, thank you so much for joining me here on One-on-One, and have fun at PAX East. Splatoon coming out in May. You guys are in for an amazing treat.
To make a mess.
Yes! I am coming to you from the Downwell booth with Ojiro Fumoto. Yokoso, One-on-One.
Arigatou gozaimasu.
So tell us a little bit about Downwell. Where did the idea for this game came from?
So I wanted to make like a... So I'm a huge fan of Spelunky, right?
Yeah.
And I noticed that there aren't many games that's like Spelunky on the iPhone. So initially I wanted to make something like Spelunky for the iPhone, right? And I've been working with the limitation of like having a smartphone device on portrait. And if you make a game using the portrait mode smartphones, you can't have many buttons, right?
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, so I could only have like 3 buttons. So I thought about like how I could utilize just one jump button to like do multiple things.
Right.
That's how I came up with like the gumboots mechanic, where you if you press jump while you're jumping, you shoot downwards.
Cool. So, what I love about this game is really reminds me of old school Game Boy sort of video gaming.
Sure.
So, was that part of the inspiration behind Downwell?
Not really, no. To be honest, I was making this game, like, initially I was gonna finish this game in a week. And so, I didn't have much time to do, like, the graphical assets, right?
Yeah.
And, to make the process be easy, I just went with like the black and white style because I didn't have time to like do the coloring stuff. And that's how I came about with this black and white aesthetic.
Well, I think it's really cool. I love it. It's simple, but the whole gameplay mechanism. It's a simple game, but it's very complex.
Yeah.
The further you go down.
People think that it's like a throwback to the retro times or something, but it's really not. Like, it's just me not bothering to coloring it in. Yeah.
Just tell people that that's what it was intentional.
Okay. It's Game Boy inspired, et cetera, yeah.
Now, you have said it's for the iPhone, but I do see here, as I played it, you have a whole console version of it. Are you planning to maybe port it to either devices sometime in the near future?
Yes. So it's going to be planned, it's planned for iOS, Android, and PC. And hopefully maybe Vita, like holding the Vita sideways, kind of.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because they got the whole touchscreen thing on the Vita. You can probably do that up with it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that could be pretty cool. So how far does the level go? Is there an end, or does it just keep on going?
So, as I said before, I'm a huge fan of Spelunky, and I think the levels are going to be like that, too, where you have, like, around three sets of, like, levels. Like, after you beat three levels, there's going to be, like, a new area, like a differently themed levels. And maybe like have four or five different levels and have a final boss and maybe end it there. But I'm playing with the idea of like looping back to the start after you beat the thing.
So when can people expect to find Downwell? When are you planning to release it?
Around July, hopefully.
Excellent. Ojiro, arigato gozaimasu. Downwell. Awesome little game, very simple but very complex. I really can't wait to see.
Thank you.
What you have in store next, man. Thank you
very much. Thank you.
Once again, I am over at the HyperX booth, and I've got a recurring guest here, Mr. David Leon. Welcome to One-on-One. How are you doing today?
Doing great, Evan. Thank you. Good to see you again.
Yes. Listen, last year you were showing off the HyperX Cloud. I was blown away by not only its comfort, but the quality in the mic. And now this year, you're showing off HyperX Cloud 2. Now, tell our listeners, what have you done differently this time?
So it's got the same comfort, same great sound as the Cloud 1, but we've added 7.1 virtual surround sound, so now we're taking the sound up another level. We really want to immerse you in the game now. You know, when footsteps are coming toward you or coming from behind you, you're going to know. You're going to hear explosions. You're going to know where explosions are, bullets whizzing by. You're going to hear all that good stuff with 7.1 virtual surround on the Cloud 2.
Now, are you going to be able to, like, separate sounds, like how you can separate the chat and the music and all that fun stuff within the whole setup?
You can. You know what you can do? You can control so the 7.1 virtual surround is a little on-off button. It's a little dongle that's hooked onto the keyboard, onto the cord, and what you can do is you can control your mic level and your headset level right there. It's not fancy where you can, you know, like, start mixing sound effects. We're not there yet. Hopefully HyperX will be there with the next one or one after. But this one, seriously, you're going to love this one.
Right. Well, I was just trying out now. The sound quality is fantastic, as always. And what I noticed, too, is it feels even a lot more comfortable. Now, the original Cloud was so comfortable. This one, it feels like you're not wearing anything at all.
It really is. It's lightweight, memory foam ear cups. Even we put memory foam on the headband, too, to make it even more comfortable. Because it's like, you know, you and I are the same, right? We're gaming for 6 hours on end, 8 hours on end. You know, I remember when GTA 5 came out, I was, you know, I started in the morning. By the time I was finished, it was dark outside. I want to be able to, like, you know, I want to be able to wear hours on end.
Right, and that's what I liked about the first HyperCloud, because you can wear it constantly, and you wouldn't even notice it. Like, when I do my podcast shows, I'm wearing the HyperX Cloud because we're talking for, like, hours and hours and hours, not just recording the show, but doing the pre-show and the post-show. And if you're wearing other headsets, it can be a pain, not just on the top of your head, but even on the ears. And what I love about HyperX Cloud, well, at least with my headset with the HyperX Cloud, is you do the whole, you know, wraparound setup so it's, nothing's really pushing down. And I like that you're continuing on with that with the HyperX Cloud too.
We want to keep it comfortable for everybody, you know. So with the memory foam, it blocks out a lot of that background noise to really get you in the game. If you want to hear, like, sometimes you want to hear conversations of, don't forget, we also have the velour ones that come with it so people can hear it. So yeah, comfort is really, comfort, big sound are the two things we're going for on this headset. And we hopefully, it's always going to be, you know, up to the person who wears it, up to the gamer. I'm glad you love it. I love it too. And I'm hoping, you know, the next time people, somebody's going to hear this, they're going to want to go out and get it. Really, you can't go wrong with it.
Right. So what's going to be the price point for HyperX Cloud 2?
Cloud 2 is about $100.
And you know what? That isn't a bad... That's actually really cheap for a high-quality headset.
Well, thank you. You know, we're trying to deliver great value, too. So $100 for the headset, for what it delivers, for 7.1 virtual surround, you know, great comfort, big 53-millimeter drivers. We think we found, you know, we put it together a really, really nice package.
I know. It's a great package, great quality, all for a very, very low price. Now, I got to ask, too, because you're not just showing off the headsets. I want to ask you, what else are you guys showing off right here at PAX East?
Well, so we have new mouse pads. We have a HyperX Fury mouse pad. It comes in four different sizes, all the way from a small one that's just for the mouse, all the way to a big one that's like 19 by 35. It'll fit your keyboard and your mouse, too. You know, and then we have all sorts of things on HyperX here. We have HyperX DDR4 memory. DDR4 is the newest platform from Intel, X99 system. People who want faster memory, we got it.
Well, David, thank you so much for joining us here on One-on-One. And let me tell you something. HyperX, you guys are about quality at a very low price. Because sometimes that doesn't really go hand in hand, but you guys have shown that it can.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate that. You know, we're trying to bring value and quality to the users. We want that. You know, HyperX has been known for that since 2002. We're part of Kingston Technologies. Been around since 1987.
Wow.
And that's what we want to do. You know, it's always about value, taking care of our customers, and making everybody happy.
So, listeners, if you want great quality at a really great price, you got to go with the HyperX. David, thank you again for joining us here on 101. And I hope to maybe see you either at E3 or hell, I hope to see you next year at PAX East.
You got it, Evan. Anytime you want, okay?
Look out, Halo. There is a new eSport in the making, and it's right here at Adult Swim Games, Duck Game, and I'm here with one of the creators, Landon. Welcome to One-on-One. How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm good. Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about Duck Game.
So Duck Game is a four-player multiplayer deathmatch game where you play as ducks, and everything happens really quick, and people get on fire, and it's one-shot kill, and lots of stuff.
Yeah, we were just spending, the last 20 minutes playing this game. It's super fast. It's super fun. It's just bonkers craziness, and I really love it. So where did the idea for this game come from?
Well, originally, I wanted to make a platformer because they're my favorite genre. I was thinking, like, James Bond, Super Mario World, right? I like ducks, so I made the character a duck. I got really into, like, local deathmatch games, and my friend said, you know, like, but you should make one, like, put guns in the game. So, since I like Hotline Miami, I was like, okay, let's do one-shot kill, because, like, that could be rad. And it turned out really well, and, like, it just went from there.
Now, how has the reaction been from players that have been coming here to PAX East trying out your game?
Oh, it's been really incredible. Like, shows are my favorite thing. I love watching people, like, figure it out, hold grenades before they know to throw them, things like that. Like, just, it's been wonderful. People are screaming at it.
Now, I noticed there's a lot of customization with the ducks and characters. Like, how many customizations do you have for your duck?
There are, I think, around 40 hats. And the weapons you can get, there's, like, 50 weapons, like, 50 levels. a dozen pieces of equipment, like jetpacks and grappling hooks and things like that.
Now, I know you are the creator of this game, but to be honest, like, what is your personal favorite weapon that you have put into this game?
That's really hard because it changes a lot. I think at the end of the day, my favorite weapon is the net gun, because just the idea that you can change any duck into a prop that you can do whatever you want with, I think is a lot of fun.
Now, what I love about this game too is you can never really predict how you're going to win this game. Like, for instance, there was this one instance where my duck had the sword and then your duck had the gun. And you would think, oh, the one that with the gun is going to win. And that wasn't the case. And it's a really good feeling to see something like that happen in a game. Because, let's face it, you've heard of taking a knife to a gunfight. What happens when you take a gun to a knife fight?
Yeah, I feel like the one-shot kill thing really lends to that really well, right? Because, in a lot of games, there's obvious, in Halo, right? You go at somebody with a sword, and they've got, a gun that they're really good with. It's a lot harder, right? But in this game, since it's all so quick, the littlest things can happen, right? You can miss once, they throw the sword at you, or you trip on a banana, stuff like that. I think it's hectic, it's ridiculous.
What's been your favorite kill so far that you've seen during PAX East?
Oh, man. I always like ridiculous sniper kills, to be honest. Someone's across the level, three ducks are on the other side fighting over a crate or something, and a bullet just travels right through them all at once, and everyone's like, whoa, what the hell? And they look, and it zooms in on the duck in the corner, and it's like, oh, yeah. Snipers in this game, too.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and when are you planning on launching it, and where will people be able to find it?
It's launching at the end of April, and it's going to be on Steam. And it's going to have single player online and then Workshop later on in PSN, Xbox, within a month.
Awesome. Landon, thank you so much for joining us here on 101. Duck Game coming to you from Adult Swim Games. It is bonkers fun, man. It is really cool, and I'm so glad that I was able to find this here. So thank you again for joining us here on 101.
Thank you so much.
Life is like a hurricane, in Duck Bird. Race cars, lasers, airplanes, it's a Duck Bird. Might solve a mystery, or rewrite history. DuckTales, every day you're out there making DuckTales.
We are coming to you from the Devolver Digital booth, and I am here trying out the video game Dropsy. And please introduce yourselves.
I'm Jay Tholen.
You are the creator of this game, correct?
Yeah, creator of Dropsy. I'm the artist, lead artist, and designer. And we have another guy doing art and some scripting and another guy doing programming. Well, two other guys doing programming, actually, yeah.
So tell us a little bit about the story of Dropsy, because he does seem like a bit of a creepy clown, but that's just the way he looks. He is a very kind and happy clown.
Yeah, so basically 5 years before the game starts, there was an accident, and a circus fire, caused a ruckus at one of their performances, and a few people died and everything. And so the town and everyone in the world kind of thinks you're this... You did it. They kind of blame you for it because you look weird, you know?
Right.
And so you just want to go hug people. You're like this very innocent, clown. I don't know, kind of like this guy from the Goonies. A lot of people tell me Sloth or something like
Sloth,
that.
Sloth, yeah, Sloth.
Yeah, and you just want to do good, though. And so a lot of the game is kind of earning people's trust, and a lot of the people that you help in the game will come back later to help you a little bit. So yeah.
So they'll help to see, help everyone to show that you are a very nice clown.
In a way, yeah.
So tell me a little bit about the inspiration behind this game. How did you come up with the concept for it?
Well, it is an adventure game, so a lot of the LucasArts adventures I like. There's some metaphorical stuff with my personal, beliefs, philosophies, and stuff. A lot about, I guess, redemption. I wanted to express that through a game. And, art and gameplay-wise, I have a lot of inspirations. Too many to name, really. But definitely some echoes of LucasArts games. Another thing is, you notice there's no text anywhere in the game.
Right, I did kind of notice there was sort of like a fake language that is shown throughout it.
Yeah, it's like, it actually is English, but the words are just glyphs that represent letters.
Oh, okay.
So, but if just looking at it, you can't tell. But if someone really wanted to go dig and figure out what it meant, they could. But yeah, really, I wanted to keep it universal. So, like, some kid from a country where no one translates to his language could play my game, you know?
Or right, because you don't use words at all. It's about trying to search and discover what's to be hidden in this game.
Right, right. And I'm trying to use animation a lot to get emotions, and the icons are sometimes a little hard to understand, but that's a little bit on purpose because Dropsy's a very bad communicator.
So, yeah. Well, sadly, it's because of the way he looks, so it's hard for him to really talk to people, because
yeah, right.
If people saw him, it's like, ah!
Yeah, yeah. They run away, as you saw.
Yeah. So, I know you're getting close to completion of this game. When are you expecting for it to hit the, you know, Steam or whatever it is that you're going to be putting it on?
In July. That's, maybe optimistic, but I think we can hit July, maybe. I don't know when in July, but it could be earlier if the team really gets cranking, but I'm thinking it'll land around that time.
Okay, very cool. So, thank you so much for joining me here on One-on-One, and best of luck with the rest of PAX East.
Thank you. Thanks for playing.
We are coming to you from the Behemoth booth, and I'm here with Megan Lamb, and I just tried out Game 4. That's right, this game does not have a title yet, but first off, welcome to One-on-One. How are you doing today?
I'm great. We're at Day 2, so it's great.
Now, I know you can't reveal the title yet of this game, but I'm curious, has there already been failed titles that you would like to share with this about the game?
You know, nothing I can share. I mean, we've definitely gone over some options, but we don't have anything set yet.
All right, cool. So, this is a turn-based video game, Game 4, and the premise is you're this noble farmer of sorts, a blueberry farmer, who must set out on a journey, on a quest, because something about a bear in universe. Okay, so here's the thing. The Behemoth stories are always very wacky and nonsensical, but that's what makes them so much fun to play.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely probably our trademark humor and style for Alien, Castle Crashers, as well as Battle Block Theater.
So where did the idea of doing a turn-based strategy game originate from?
You know, I think that we just like to do a lot of different genres. We like to, you know, because Alien and Castle and Battle Block are so different, and I think that's because we just want to try out new things and then put our flavor into them.
Now, I did notice a couple characters from past video games and Behemoth are in this game. Does that mean that this game also it takes place in the same universe of sorts?
You know, what I can say is that we like to put little Easter eggs in all of our games, because I know Alien Hominid, you know, the alien from Alien Hominid is in Castle Crashers, right?
Right.
It's a playable character, and we also did that in Battle Block, where you could play as a Castle Crashers Knight or Alien as well. So there's a little bit of that in Game 4 as well.
So does that mean there's a possibility that we may run into Hattie Paddington in this game?
I can't say for sure, but I would say you might want to check out our teaser trailer that's up online right now, which is that opening cinematic that you saw.
Oh, excellent, excellent. So, how has the overall, the opinion of the gamers that you've seen so far, how have they been enjoying the game?
You know, we've had really positive reviews, which is great, considering with the craziness of PAX and only having 12 solo stations, you can imagine that the wait is a little bit long, just like any other booth, but everyone's been really positive, and that's great, and we have these little comment cards, as you might have seen, right by the station, so once they're done playing, they can always give us their feedback, which is wonderful, because this, you know, going to these trade shows, this is really our biggest usability test is getting all these people to come through and give us their thoughts on it.
Now, what I love, too, about this game, well, especially what you have here for the demo, is this whole controller layout. It just feels like when you pull that lever that you're about to do something very epic. So I've got to ask, has there been any consideration of, like, making a special travel-size controller set up like this for people to purchase when the game comes out?
Not that I know of. I mean, it's going to be coming out on X1 and Steam, and as far as I know, these were just specially made for trade shows because we want to give them a different experience. I mean, when you go to shows, you play the games at home already, so why not have something a little bit more special? Like, we have our Castle Crashers arcade cabinet on the side as well as the BattleBlock arcade cabinet, so it's something that we're doing just for shows for now.
All right. Would it help if I said that I would totally buy one on day one?
Well, I'm glad you would, but I'm not the one who designed those, so I can't speak for them.
All right. So I know you're still developing the game. Do you have an estimated time of when Game 4 will be completed and released onto the world?
No, there's no release date right now. It's basically just once it's ready, then we definitely want to let you guys know when it's closer to being done.
And I guess my final question I want to ask, and what I love about the Behemoth is you always have to expect the unexpected, but still, I got to ask, what can players expect from Game 4?
You can expect this to be one of our biggest games with so much content. I mean, like, from Alien to Castle to BattleBlock, we've learned so much, like, just about how much people love trading, how much people love customization, and so there's going to be a lot of that. I think you saw the cupcakes, and then we have vampires, and we have robots, and you'll be able to customize those as well. And then, you know, we have solo story, which is what you're playing today, and then we'll have co-op story for two people, and then we'll have 2v2, so there's going to be a lot of modes as well.
Excellent. Megan, thank you so much for joining me here on One-on-One. Game 4, not the official title. We don't know what the official title is going to be. Coming soon, Xbox One and Steam. And again, seriously, I would buy one of these controller layouts if you guys ever release it, man.
Thank you. Thank you so much for coming and joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you. We are here at the Screens TV booth where watching TV is going to be changed drastically. Thanks to the founder of Screens TV, Mark Todd. Welcome to One-on-One. How are you doing today?
Excellent.
How has PAX East been for you so far?
Oh, PAX has been phenomenal so far. We've been getting a ton of booth traffic, and we've been getting a ton of people who are interested in changing the way that their TV works to get the new control.
So tell us a little bit about the concept of Screens TV.
Sure. The main concept is to try to put the viewer in control, the viewer rules. What we have is a new piece of technology, a new piece of hardware that can take in simultaneous HDMI plus internet. It's got built-in processing, and it allows you to put multiple things on the TV at the same time using a tablet or a mobile device. You can resize and provision the layouts however you want. So you can have an Xbox and a PlayStation run at the same time on your TV with a Twitter feed. You can have a basketball game and fantasy stats. You can have three football games and, in a World of Warcraft PC. Any combination you want.
Yeah, as I see right behind us, we got, I think, Dragon Age on one side. We got Spider-Man on there, and we got the Facebook on there. And all of it seems to be working real fluidly. Nothing seems to be, you know, lagging whatsoever with that.
Correct. The design is actually, again, a brand new piece of silicon technology we've been working on for 3 years. We've been stealth. We're coming out here at the PAX shows, and it's specifically designed not to have any performance issues. In fact, the idea is to make sure that there's no performance between a PlayStation. You could have five, in our example, you could have five PlayStations running, and you wouldn't see any performance hit.
That's fantastic, man.
Yeah.
And one of the cool things is you are able to use an iPad or an iPhone to help control everything.
Yeah, any tablet or mobile device would work. The controllers, the system is HTML5 based. So the controller can be HTML5, the backgrounds can be HTML5, which means that we're going to have a developer community for a new app store that's going to have all HTML5 apps. So any developer out there who wanted to get on TV and code while other HDMI devices are running, you're now going to be able to do that. In fact, I'm looking for developers to get on my site to get the behind-the-scenes API and have input on helping me figure out what other inputs and API they're interested in.
Right, because you want to work with the developer to make sure everything works flawlessly with Screens TV.
Exactly. I'm an engineer myself, and so I know that it'd be a lot easier if I could just get the input, and I think that it'd be great to get input from the guys.
Absolutely. Now, I see that you are teaming up with the guys over at Robot Roller Derby Disco Dodgeball with this. How did this team up first come into play?
Actually, we got introduced to the developer of Robo Disco Dodgeball, and it's a brand new game, and it's really hot.
Oh, it's amazing. I played the virtual reality version of that a couple of years ago, and
yeah,
just that bubble alone just blew me away.
Oh, it's fantastic. We've been playing here on two PCs, like the old LAN party.
Yep.
And now we can put them both on the TV with the GoPro, and that's something that you could actually stream to a Twitch or a YouTube now.
Really?
Yeah. So the idea here is that, again, you got all this load from screens to take all of the processing out of the picture. You make it, use the hardware to put all this together with no lag or issues or performance issues, and then you compress that and send that up to Twitch. And now you can have multiplayer games with video and internet all blended together.
And that way the computer doesn't overheat because Screens TV is doing all the work for you.
Correct. It really helps you, yeah, reallocate and free up that PC to do stuff that PCs are good at.
Exactly, which is playing great video games, very powerful video games.
Yes.
So, you're talking about launching this on Kickstarter. When can we expect this to pop up?
Yeah, I'm hoping to get Kickstarter out in the coming weeks. What I'm trying to do is I really need people's help building community. I'd like to get more people to come to my website, screens.com, screens with a K, and sign up to become part of the community so we can get a lot of people to support the Kickstarter. And I'm hoping that in, you know, 2, 3, 4 weeks or so, I'm hoping to get that Kickstarter out, and I'll email everybody when it comes out.
And how has that feedback been so far? Have you been getting a lot of responses from these people?
Phenomenal. Well over 90%. I would estimate over 95% of the people at PAX, when they see the demo, they look at what they're doing, find the use case, put their name down to sign up. So it's been phenomenal.
Dude, this looks fantastic. And you are right. This does look like it's going to change the way we game, how we stream on Twitch. This is what we wanted to see in Back to the Future Part 2. This is exactly, you're delivering that to us finally.
Absolutely. I don't know what I can do with the hovering car and things. we got the TV covered. The TV for the next generation, where the internet has an equal footing to any linear broadcast, has an equal footing to any gaming station. We're gonna change the rules, new viewer rules.
That is awesome. Mark, thank you so much for joining us here on 101, and best of luck with the rest of the PAX East, and best of luck, too, with the Kickstarter launch, man. This is great, and I hope everyone out there goes on there. Screens.com, screens with a K. Thank you again, Mark.
Okay, thank you.
Through the windswept coastal trees. I'm over at the Pop Sandbox Productions booth with Alex Jansen, who is showing off Loud on Planet X. Welcome to 101. How are you doing today?
Great, thank you.
So this is your first time showing off this video game to everybody, is that correct?
Yeah, we're just in the early stages. So this is our first kind of public demo, and then what we're working on right now is just kind of building a bit of traction towards a Kickstarter in April, and then a planned launch by end of year.
Now, I'm not going to lie, I was walking through this area here, checking out some of the games, and I came across your sign, and then the second thing I noticed is one of my all-time favorite favorite bands, and a former guest on one of our shows, Damien Abraham of the band Fucked Up. One of their songs is going to be featured on this video game, is that correct?
Yeah. Actually, we're going to do a whole cross-section of different music, two tracks per artist. We've announced the first five, so Austra, July Talk, Fucked Up, Metz, Tegan and Sarah, and then we're going to announce the next three when we do the Kickstarter in April, but the plan is to get to 12 by end of year.
Very nice. So is this going to be a game that you hope to expand more and more as the years progress?
Yeah, that's a hope. I mean, right now we're really excited about just having a curated list. We're able to start with those 12. Hopefully people are discovering the music within the game. And then the idea from there is either to expand out or even looking at stuff like being able to play with your own playlists and so forth down the line.
That is very cool. So the premise of the game is you have to defeat these aliens and other creatures and such to the beat of the music.
Yeah, it's almost like a weird kind of love child of Plants vs. Zombies and Rock Band. So you got to keep the aliens from getting to the stage by tapping in rhythm and then using kind of these makeshift weapons like strobe lights and fog machines and bouncers, and then each of the headliners have their own kind of custom attacks.
Yeah, you were telling me how Damien takes off his shirt and he jumps into the audience.
Yeah, we're developing all that. Those will be kind of like the special kill all kind of attacks, and they'll be each for each band.
I'm curious to know what the Tegan and Sarah one, because I'm a big fan of theirs as well.
Yeah, we actually just brought them in the last month, so we're super excited. We just got them into the demo build right now. Right now it's just two bands, two songs, two aliens. It's kind of the first chance for people to get a look. Then we'll be starting to roll content right through.
Now, how has the feedback been so far from players that have come and checked out your booth?
Feedback's been great. Yeah, I think there's a huge appetite for rhythm games, and I think this is kind of a new take on the genre, and so far people are really digging it, which is great for us, because I mean this is really more than anything like a first public playtest.
And so far it's pretty good. I love how you can, you know, tap to the beat. The thing, you know, what's really hard too, sometimes you wonder if you have to tap to like all the different drums and everything that happened during the it wasn't the Tegan Sarah song I played. What was the other band name?
Yeah, you were playing July Talk. Yeah.
July Talk, yes. Well, which, by the way, you did mention, like, you're hoping that more people get into the music the same way that they'll get into the video game. And hopefully vice versa, too.
Yeah. I think you know, maybe someone might come in because they know Tegan and Sarah, but then the hope is that they're going to discover July Talk or even something like, you know, like Fucked Up and Matt's. Like, there's some pretty great bands.
So you're going to be launching this Kickstarter. I know you guys are going to be doing this next month. So can you tell us a little bit of what you're hoping to accomplish with the Kickstarter besides, you know, the building of the game itself?
Yeah. So the goal is to get more music in there and also more platforms. We're developing in Unity. So the whole goal is to go as many console as we can. And then we're going to do the also mobile. And then, and through the Kickstarter, we're going to do a lot of fun stuff. Like in the tutorial level, you're playing in front of the crowd. Well, people will be able to be in the crowd, animated in, or even become special attacks like the bouncer. And then we're also doing stuff. We're going to press a 7-inch vinyl. That'll be one of the rewards with an original track by Mike and Jonah from Fucked Up, Brendan Canning from Broken Social Scene. So we're putting together some pretty fun stuff.
That is awesome. Now, for all our listeners out there, please convince them, why should they play Loud on Planet X?
Well, I mean, the hope is that it's Plants vs. Zombies meets Rock Band. So I think if you like either, hopefully you're going to love it, and the music's going to be incredible. So, so check it out. It's loudonplanetx.com.
Alex, thank you so much for joining us here on One-on-One. Loud on Planet X, please check it out. You got some great artists. You got some really cool gameplay. It's the perfect marriage. It's the perfect marriage.
Thank you very much.
You are very welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, I am very excited right now. I'm joined right now with Sabrina, who is showing off probably one of my all-time favorite cartoons right now, Wok Fu. Welcome to One-on-One. How are you doing today?
Very good. Thank you for having me. How are you?
I am great. And like I just said, I'm not just saying it because you're here. Wok Fu is one of the best animated series I have ever seen in my life. I've talked about it on my No Borders, No Race podcast show. I've had my friends from the Wicked Anime podcast show talk about it. We are just batty over it. We love it with all of our hearts. And we just want to say thank you for finally bringing it here to America.
Well, thank you, and we want to thank all the fans, supporters. When we did especially our Kickstarter campaign, which really brought all the love that we thought that we could probably get out here, and because of them and all of you out there, we were able to actually dub the whole two series and the season one and two actually of the series and bring it out to America to enjoy on Netflix. So
yeah. Now, right now, there's also the new bonus episodes. There's the OVA, yes. I would like to call them the OVAs. There's the three specials that just aired over in France. Will you be bringing those over to America as well?
Yes, they're also being dubbed as well, but first we're going to make them available to our Kickstarter backers first.
Of course.
As well as the Blu-ray version of the both seasons. So once they do receive those in exclusivity, then we'll be able to share it with the rest of the world.
Now, you and I were talking earlier, I don't know if this is something you can chat about, but you're currently working on getting Wakfu on TV, correct?
That is a goal of ours, yes. It's already, like as you have said, in Europe it's already mainly on TV, and Netflix is really bringing the awareness of the series across here. So we're hoping with this and the support of the fan that we can even bring it to the TV out here too.
So I got to ask too, because I know there's a lot of people who love the show, there's a lot of people who love the video game. Are you surprised by the full-on support and love that the series has been getting these last couple of years here in America?
I am, and I'm so humble and touched by it. I even had, when we went to Anime Expo last year, it actually almost made me cry because I was face-to-face with the community and their love and support was just very overwhelming to me, so I was really happy with that.
Now, I gotta ask, what's gonna be next for the Wakfu universe? Is there gonna be a season 3?
That is the question that's always coming back up, and myself also, I would like to know exactly what's gonna happen. For sure, I don't have any details that I can share with you right now, but I can tell you that the team is working on many things regarding the anime, so many surprises to come. So
now I know that there's also the Dofus cartoon that's been airing in France as well. Will there be a possibility of that coming to America as well?
Well, there's something big coming regarding Dofus. But again, you may get some exclusivity on that maybe at Anime Expo this year, because we're going to be at Anime Expo to present a few special surprises in LA.
Now, my final question, and I know I've been pushing it out there, I've been talking about it like crazy, but I want you to tell my listeners, why should they watch Wakfu?
Wakfu is simply a story about everybody. This is something everyone can relate to. We're all looking for roots, where we're coming from, where we're going. We're going to be meeting people along the way that are going to help us go through those quests and challenges in life, and it's exactly where you go, the main character is going through.
All right, Sabrina, thank you so much for joining us here on One on One. Wakfu, you can currently watch on Netflix, and I just gotta say, I wish nothing but success for Wakfu and even Dofus. I'm still speechless because of how amazing of a show it is, and I still gotta say thank you for bringing it over here.
That's really sweet of you, Evan. I'm really happy that you got me to talk about this, and we appreciate everyone, especially people that support us like this, so thank you.
You are very welcome. I'm over at the NetNot Games booth with Ancho Lamina, showing off the video game Affordable Space Adventures, which is coming out exclusively for the Wii U. So, first of all, where did the idea for Affordable Space Adventures first come into fruition?
Our director, Niklas Nygren, also by the nickname of Niflas, he had this idea about making a game where you could control a ship with a gamepad and use all the system, all the different systems of the ship on the gamepad, on the touchscreen, while on the TV you will see and explore the game world. So Niklas, he actually presented this idea to Knapno Games, to Lau, and Lau wanted to make this into a more cooperative experience where different players could have different roles. So actually the game can now be played both single player and co-op.
Now, what's great about this game is, you know, it's not one of those co-op titles where you just look at your screen and just see where you have to go. You actually have to communicate with one another to make sure that you're able to turn down the heat, the engine, the electricity. There's so much multitasking that happens in this game, but you have to do it in order to survive and complete each level, and I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's pretty much one of the things that I like most about watching people play the game. When you have a pilot that is, okay, I really need more speed to go through here, and he constantly talks to the engineer so that they can he can tweak all the different systems, tweak the thrust, make the ship be heavier. I think it's amazing, this communication that goes on. And as you say, it's not just everyone staring at the screen. They also look at each other and talk, okay, how about we try this? How about we try this other thing? It is great communication that goes on.
Right, as you saw when we did the whole playthrough, I was talking with one of the other players in there. We were communicating. Say, all right, you got to make sure you got to turn down the heat here, otherwise that thing's going to shoot you and kill you. All right, with this one here, you got to turn down a bit of the anti-gravity because that's taking up some of the heat and electricity. It's a very brilliant concept that I'm surprised that a lot of video games have never really attempted.
Well, in our case, I would think that it's mostly that with the Wii U gamepad, there's this amount of possibilities that you can do, different gameplay mechanics that you can try with the fact that you have this gamepad with the touchscreen and the joysticks, and the other players have these different controls. And I think more games will try to explore all these realm of possibilities. This is what we wanted to do with the game. See, how can we use all these different features in new ways that get people working together, that get this new cooperative experience? That was one of the main challenges of the game. We've also tried to implement things like the tilts of the gamepad. We have tried to implement the Miiverse online communities of the Wii U, even though that's something that I can't get to tell how it works, because it's part of the story.
Right.
But it is integrated.
So, what are some of the bigger challenges that you're going to be going up against in affordable space adventures? Because it's not just about trying to evade all these different sorts of enemies. There are other dangers as well, am I correct?
Of course, you have things like, I think that when you're playing the game, you saw that the plants, there's these organic enemies that as you approach them, they try to grab you and then eat you. But the other player who's controlling the flashlight can actually point the light at them and they're scared of the light, so they just retreat. There's also other puzzles, environmental puzzles. Sure, puzzles where you push blocks, but also puzzles where there's a wind current and you need to go past it. So you talk with the other player, so you trick the systems and, okay, let's make the ship heavier and let's make the ship faster so we can fight against the wind. There's all these sort of environmental puzzles. Later on in the game, there's teleporters, there's other artifacts that detect you in many different ways. So, I don't know, we've tried to look for many different ways throughout the game to get the players to think how they need to control the ship in new, novel ways with the systems they've already learned.
Now, you're going to be launching this game next month.
Yes, the launch date is April 9th. We'll be releasing on the eShop for the Nintendo Wii U. We're actually very excited. We will be making some more trailers and some more announcements as the game gets ready to come out. But yeah, April 9th is the release date.
All right. Do we have a price tag yet for it?
Not at the moment. We're actually still thinking about what will be the most appropriate price for it. We're also gauging the interest, comparing with other games. We want to make sure that we get the price right. We also don't want to undervalue the game, because if we release the game with, for example, a $5 price tag, and then, you know, it's a game that is taking almost 2 years to complete. We need to also put that.
Right, absolutely. I completely understand that. All right,
again,
so
it's going to be affordable. So.
Right, right, because it's called Affordable Space Adventures, not Expensive Space Adventures. So my final question is, convince our listeners, why should we play Affordable Space Adventures?
Well, if you're looking for a game that can get all of your friends together and collaborate in new meaningful ways, I think this is the game that is really going to push you to that, to think together to solve the puzzles, and I think that's the most impressive thing of the game.
Alright, Ancho, thank you so much for joining us here on One-on-One. Affordable Space Adventures coming out next month exclusively on the Nintendo Wii U. And good luck with the rest of PAX East.
Thank you very much.
here at the Dodge Roll booth with Enter the Gungeon with Dave. Welcome to One-on-One. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Thanks for coming by.
Yeah, my pleasure. Now, tell me a little bit about Enter the Gungeon.
So, Enter the Gungeon, we're calling it a gunfight dungeon crawler. And what I mean by that is we are trying to marry all the really fun tropes of the dungeon crawler genre with a much like faster-paced bullet hell style game. So we're taking things like tropes from D&D, Binding of Isaac, Zelda, Diablo, and putting them in a Smash TV, Nuclear Throne, or Ikaruga-style fast-paced fight. And on top of all that, the player has a dodge roll mechanic that allows them to pass through bullets without taking damage.
So, you mentioned some of the other inspirations for this game. You mentioned Binding of Isaac, you mentioned Zelda.
Yeah.
So what made those games help to build the basis of Enter the Gungeon?
Well, I can start with Binding of Isaac. So Binding of Isaac, I think, has an incredible sense of progression, but also keeping the skill level requirement extremely high. You're unlocking, your loot pool is expanding constantly. But it's also not just that. In Zelda and Binding of Isaac, those games have our room-based challenges. You walk in, and you fight a bunch of enemies, and the doors lock, and then once you've killed them, they open up. And we thought that that's a really nice pacing mechanic, and especially good for a bullet hell style game, because you can walk in, they can be positioned all around the room, and you can be surrounded, and you have to deal with that sort of attack all at once.
So, you mentioned in this game, in Enter the Gungeon, when you die, you gotta start all the way from the beginning, if that's right.
Yeah, Enter the Gungeon is very much a roguelike, so while there are certain things that will progress, like stay across lives. In general, when you're dead, you're dead, and you gotta start over. Yeah.
So, how large is the video game of Enter the Gungeon then? Or what do you plan? How big are you planning it to be?
The main progression of the game will be several floors long. We're thinking around 5, starting in the base level Gungeon and ending in literal bullet hell. And but there will be several side offshoot areas that you can choose to go into to make your run a little bit longer and a little bit harder.
Cool. So what inspired the overall look and appearance of the game? Because while I was playing this, I couldn't help but think, like, I'm seeing like these sort of bullet characters that walking around. They kind of remind me a bit of like Adventure Time from Hell of sorts.
Oh yeah, basically the truth is that we have a really talented artist, and he. He's a very goofy person, and when he just started we were concepting the characters and stuff, he drew a bullet character, and it was so cute, we knew that we had to model the rest of our art style after it.
Nice, nice. So we have the campaign here, you got the tutorial. Is there going to be some sort of multiplayer aspect to Enter the Gungeon?
Yeah, in the final game, you'll definitely be able to play with at least one other person, so cooperative.
Excellent. Now, you're saying you're planning to release this in September. Which consoles are on which other platforms can we expect this game to be on?
Cool, yeah. So, hoping to release in September on PC, Mac, Linux. PS4 will probably come a little bit after that. And if we can make it work, we'll do Vita.
Nice. So, my final question is, convince my listeners why they should play Enter the Gungeon.
Enter the Gungeon is a game that will not hold your hand. It's very fast, action-packed, and it's extremely hard. So if you're somebody looking, you know, for a challenge, you want to come back and have an awesome bullet hell gunfight, you know, then play Enter the Gungeon, man. If you like Binding of Isaac, if you like Nuclear Throne, you should definitely check it out.
Excellent. Dave, thank you so much for joining me here on One-on-One. Enter the Gungeon, coming out this September for PC, Mac, Linux, PS4, and hopefully PlayStation Vita. It's definitely a lot of fun, and I hope you all get a chance to check it out.